Well, we're continuing on our pilgrimage, aren't we? And our pilgrimage is taking us through the land of Lent. And all through Lent, we have been drawing our texts for the service from the hymn book of those early pilgrims who left slavery in Egypt to travel to a new land, a land of milk and honey. The hymn book of the Hebrew people generally throughout history, Jesus' hymn book, the hymn book of the early church, of the monastic communities. For thousands of years, we have been drawing from the Psalms. These poems, these songs, we have been drawing inspiration and wisdom and, quite frankly, a great deal of honesty. One of the things I love about the Hebrew Bible and certainly about the Psalms is that these voices are brutally honest about what it means to be a human being. And yet, they never lose faith or trust in God. And so we've been doing something that folks have been literally doing for thousands of years as we read the Psalms, as we sing the Psalms together. It's a part of our pilgrimage. And one of the other things we do on pilgrimage is that we tell stories, don't we? Early on in this process, I talked about the Canterbury Tales. One story right after another. Those of us who went on pilgrimage to Israel came back with a plethora of stories. Some we share with each other, some we share with you all. A part of pilgrimage is storytelling. Being able to tell the deepest truth of our experiences, the deepest truth of our lives, without fear. And that's what the psalmist speaks of today. What happens in a place where you can tell the deepest truth of your life without being afraid that somebody's going to use it against you? That somebody's going to pass it along when it shouldn't be passed along, spreading it as a rumor? Or even a truth that's hurtful? A place where we can talk about even the most difficult and broken parts of our lives without fear. The psalmist says that when I was able to speak that truth, I found forgiveness. I found grace. When I kept it to myself, it ate me up inside. And we all know what that feels like, don't we? Guilt, shame, the kinds of things that we don't feel like we could share, that eat us up inside because we can't. Well, I found a place where this kind of thing happens routinely. People share the deepest truths of their lives without fear that it will be used against them, that they will be judged harshly or judged at all, and that that won't be passed along in a hurtful way. Short time ago, a friend invited me to attend an Al-Anon meeting. I'd read about 12-step groups. I'd never attended one. I went, and there is a litany about it. There is a liturgy for those meetings. The leadership is shared. There is a reading at the beginning, and in the reading, interestingly enough, on the day I happened to be there, there was a quotation from Thomas Merton, someone who has had a huge influence on my own life. Newcomers introduce themselves, first names only. Hi, I'm Michael. Hi, Michael. That's part of the liturgy. People are asked if they would like to speak on a topic. The topic that day happened to be emotional pain. Again, there is a kind of liturgy of sharing. You say, hello, state your name. You tell your story. And at the end of the story, everybody says, thank you, and they call your name again. Some of those stories were shared through tears and weeping. Some of those stories were shared as if the person sharing them were in a kind of shell shock, numbed by what they had experienced. Some of the stories were very fresh. Some folks had lived with for decades. Each one was simply received. None judged. Nobody commented on them. It was a place where people shared the deepest and most difficult truths of their lives without judgment, without fear that they would be used against them, without fear that they would be spread around the community. It's a confidential group. You know what I found there, don't you? I found church. It was church. Isn't that what church is supposed to be? Isn't that what the psalmist is talking about? Isn't that why we confess every single week and we do it in a kind of perfunctory manner? Oh, yeah, I've ignored the poor. Oh, yeah, I haven't done what you've asked me to do. Those are serious matters. If we tell the deepest truth of our lives, those are serious matters. We tell them as if they really were about somebody else. Isn't that why perhaps the most powerful words in this service today are, hear the good news. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. And we say it back because we want everyone, even the person leading the prayer, to know that when we are able to tell our stories, our deepest hurts, God is there to forgive us. And that forgiveness is a doorway into God, a doorway into new life. Is church that for you? Now, there may be small groups, covenant groups, certainly, that are that. You may be able to tell a trusted individual. But I'll be honest with you. After 65 years of being part of church and over 40 years of helping leading church, church is the last place in the world you would want to tell the deepest truth of your life. Because you know you're going to be judged. And you know that people are going to use it against you if they get the chance. And you know that somebody's going to be saying, did you hear about so-and-so? What do you know about that? What do you know about so? Did you hear about that? Where did we go wrong? Oh, my goodness. Now, we host 12-step groups, but what if the congregation became a means of that kind of grace? What if we became a place that on this pilgrimage together, we could tell the deepest truths of our lives, the hardest truths, not carrying that guilt and shame inside us anymore, but getting it out and receive forgiveness, receive that grace that the psalmist talks about, the doorway that opens into new life. Isn't that why we invite everyone to the table? Christ didn't just die for us when we were good. In fact, he didn't die for us when we were good at all because we weren't good. He didn't die for us because we earned it, deserved it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Everyone is welcome at this table. Everyone. You don't have to be baptized. You don't have to be United Methodist. If you are in some way seeking to love God and your neighbor, or even if you don't even know that you're seeking that, but you're drawn to this community and drawn to this table, you're welcome. Because you see, we as a congregation want to be a means of that grace in every way we can. And yet we're caught in a world where judgments are too often expected and required. At the end of the service today, I'm not going to be standing at the door here. I'm going to slip out before the closing voluntary because I have to leave. I am a part of what we call the Board of Ordained Ministry for the Tennessee Conference, and we are interviewing candidates for ministry this coming afternoon, evening, and tomorrow and Tuesday. In fact, Nancy Hawthorne is one of those candidates, although I won't be interviewing her because we work together. One of the things that we are required to do is to read sheaves of information about these individuals. You talk about every part of your life, their background checks, their financial checks, there are the stories they tell about themselves, there are recommendations or stories others tell about them, and we get to watch sermons on video, and we get to watch them teach on video, and then we sit in judgment. And that's the hardest part for me. How do I sit in judgment of these individuals? Because even what I learned from these sheaves of information and from watching a sermon or a lesson doesn't tell me the deepest truth of this person's life. But we'll decide, are they admitted to candidacy? If they are a candidate, are they deferred from being ordained? Do we end that process for them altogether? These are decisions that touch people's lives profoundly. And we are truly not smart enough or well-informed enough to make them. And yet we do. You see, when I came through, things were a lot looser, as you probably guessed. And one of the reasons that they tightened them up is, don't want any more like that. And yet now I'm one of those. I am one of those. So every year before I go to this retreat, I'm reminded of a story. It's a story from the early church mothers and fathers who lived out in the desert. There was a particular church father named Abba Moses. Abba Moses was North African. He was tall, dark-skinned, and he had been a thief as a young man. He had repented of his ways. He had become a follower of Jesus. He had gone to live in the desert in these communities where each monk had their own cell, their own living place, but they also lived in community. The story goes that there was a young man who violated one of the provisions of the community, and he was going to be placed on trial. Abba Moses was respected so deeply that the other elders knew that if he were included in that decision, everyone would confirm it. Everyone would go along. If he were not included in that decision, it could be questioned. So they sent word for him to come and sit in on the trial and be one of the judges. He declined. They asked again, giving their reason, that if he were involved, others would say this is a good decision. If he were not involved, it could be questioned. He declined again. Finally, they said, if you don't come to us, we'll come to you. We'll have the trial in your cell. So he agreed to come. On the day, the young man who had committed the infraction was on one side of the room. All of the elders, the Abbas, were sitting on the other side of the room. They had all gathered when Moses walked in. When he walked in, he was carrying a bucket filled with sand. There was a hole in that bucket, and as he walked along, there was a trail of sand following him till he stopped, and then there was a cone of sand, a little mountain of sand gathering underneath the bucket where he stood. He turned to the elders and he said, "Here I am, my sins pouring out behind me like sand, and yet I come to sit in judgment of another." And turned and walked out. My understanding is that they allowed the young man to stay in the community. That story is an important reminder to me. I think it's an important reminder to us as church. We never know another person's heart deeply enough to be able to judge that person, but we can hear the story, the deepest truths of a person's life, and embrace them with the grace of God. That's what the psalmist is talking about. That is the doorway that leads to new life. The question is, will we open that door?